Hey guys, I just wanted to pop on here and give you a quick recap of my reactions to Extreme Rules that just concluded about 20 minutes ago now as I record this. And very curious to know, first of all, your guys' thoughts. I'm not sure if my opinions will really be echoed throughout the WWE fans, but overall, to be frank, I enjoyed the show. As a whole, I enjoyed the show. Now, the two matches that I feared would be kind of just cinematic or a little bit cheesy were, you know what, they were exactly that. But if you take those two matches that, as advertised, as expected, were going to be that just kind of other type of presentation that some fans love, and you expect that and know that going in, well, then I think you would have, outside those two matches, really enjoyed the show. You know, the effort was certainly there by all involved. The crowd, and when I say crowd, I use that term very lightly. The robotic WWE plants that are just doing as mommy and daddy tell them to do and cheer for who they're supposed to cheer for and boo for who they're supposed to boo for still add value to the presentation, and there's no doubt about that. I was a little bit confused in the Asuka Sasha Banks saga. By the way, outside of Apollo Crews not being able to compete, which, to be honest, is it really true that he has a bulged disc, or was it that he tested positive for COVID-19 and they couldn't say that? They had to just come up with an actual injury that would make sense for a wrestler to have. So that, I have my suspicions of, that Apollo Crews couldn't compete because of a bulged disc. So that's neither here nor there. And by the way, tomorrow I will be doing a full review show in detail with Michael Gross tomorrow night on this show. So stay tuned for that. It'll be a much more long-form audio. These are the quick hits. I haven't done a quick hits in a while, and I miss doing it. So that's what these are for, to just giving you my instant reactions, particularly when I don't have Twitter. I do have Instagram. I'm working on posting something up there now as we speak. But this was overall, like I said, a good show. And outside of those two cinematic kind of just alternate reality type of presentations, the effort was there. And again, with Sasha Banks and Asuka, the match I really, really liked. Again, these women put it all out there. Same with Bayley and Nikki Cross, who I really thought exceeded my expectations in terms of a quality of a match. And I think it was a really, really strong showing for probably a career night for Nikki Cross. I think that was a career night for her, even in a loss. And it was weird because, again, at the end of this match, it's like WWE did everything they could to protect Asuka. And they did everything they could to make sure that even in a loss, and Asuka lost the belt, that she was still booked to look strong, but in a very confusing way. And so when you have Sasha Banks, and again, they had me hooked because there were so many great false finishes and roll-ups, and the dreaded roll-up that WWE is overplaying to the max at this point. There were a lot of those and situations that I said, oh my God, that's got to be it. And we had, in this case, the referee gets sprayed in the face by Asuka, who, if she's a babyface, what is she doing using that anyway? Number one. Number two, the referee gets sprayed in the face. That should be an automatic disqualification. And maybe that's the card that they're going to play tomorrow night on Raw. But that should have been an automatic DQ. Secondly, shouldn't a second referee come down to make the DQ, or if you're going to continue the match with some unknown reason or for some unknown reason, you should have had WWE, as a professional organization, have a replacement referee on the ready to be able to help in these types of situations. So that was a little bit suspicious. But you had Bayley then put on the referee shirt, count the three. And I like how at least Byron Saxton said the obvious, right? That she's not a referee. She, just because she puts on the shirt does not make her a referee. Alleluia is what I have to say to that. That is a great call, one that I could have easily seen WWE just brush over, that it doesn't matter. She has the referee shirt that makes her a referee. No, that would be like me putting on a doctor's outfit and saying I'm a doctor, right? Or putting on a police uniform saying I'm a police officer. Yeah, that's not how that works, right? So I like the fact that they at least stated that, and Byron Saxton was the voice of reason during that whole debacle. Now, Bayley, to her credit, did count a fair three count. So had a referee had been there, like WWE should have, and Bayley could say that, hey, if WWE did their damn job and brought down a second referee, they still would have counted the same pace in which Bayley counted the three. Now, that doesn't absolve her of being a referee and somehow obtaining those powers of being a referee, but had the referee been there, it would have been the same cadence and pace of a three count. But again, the other argument is, well, Asuka should have been disqualified regardless because of the mist, which would have just allowed her to retain the championship. So there's a lot going on here. I'm going to be very curious to see how this all plays out, but the end result is the same. You have Sasha and Bayley carrying all the gold, and I love it. I love the fact that they are carrying all the gold right now. They are what the fans or what the announcers say they are. They're the hottest thing in WWE right now. They truly are. They are just killing it, and there's no better time. I mentioned this on the preview show last night with Zach Smith, our NXT host, that there is no better time than right now to put the damn gold, all the gold, all of it, on Sasha and Bayley. And I don't know, are they going to go for the NXT Women's Championship next? They have the right to travel between brands because of the fact that they are the women's tag team champions. So that'll be interesting to see if they come for the NXT championship next. But here's the thing. They are building a very tall mountain for both Sasha and Bayley to then fall down. Or if you want to use the analogy of a building, they're building a very tall building only to demo it and demo it in grand style. And that's exactly how I think this is going to go, with Sasha probably losing her Raw Women's Championship via Bayley, them losing the Women's Tag Team Championships because of a miscommunication, and then Sasha, quote, inadvertently costing maybe Bayley the SmackDown Women's Championship, and then boom, there you go. You've got a built-in, slow, deteriorating team that we all know is eventually going to crumble, and it's going to be a brilliant thing when it happens. Now, here's the catch. And I said this last night too. I still want to see these two disintegrate in front of an audience. It deserves an audience reaction. It doesn't deserve the 15 WWE robots out in the stage area or behind the plexiglass. They don't deserve the robots. They deserve living, breathing, being able to think on their own and boo who they want and cheer who they want fans. So that's what it deserves. I hope that WWE is able to see that and want that as well. It seems they are certainly playing the long game with these two, and I love it. And I wouldn't want to touch this either, because they have something special going with Sasha and Bayley. Something special. And I don't want to see this breakdown, maybe even into next year. You know, whatever it takes to get to the fans back into the arena, however long that takes, that's how long I would go with this, because this is not something that comes along that often, and this is a great story they're telling. Both women are firing on all cylinders, especially Bayley, who has come maybe the breakout star of the year, or whatever Slammy award you want to give her at the end of the year. But so that's that. One other thing is, I kind of touch on a few things. I'm not going to touch on everything. That'll be for tomorrow night. But Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro. Shinsuke and Cesaro are your new Raw or SmackDown Tag Team Champions. I love it. And I was worried that they would keep it on the New Day, But to be totally honest, does anyone even care about the New Day being champions at this point? Does anybody care? I don't care. Nobody, I really don't believe it. They have been over for so long, and it's such a stale act that somehow has still some degree of success, I would assume, on the marketing and selling of merchandise end to justify why this team needs to continue to be out there running the same act week after week, month after month, now year after year doing the same thing. I really believe that had this been in front of a live audience in Boston, or not Boston, wherever they were supposed to be tonight, they would have probably gotten some cheers. Like Shinsuke and Cesaro probably would have gotten a very significant round of applause from the audience, and probably some booing for the New Day. I mean, their act is beyond stale at this point. But here's my question. Why are we supposed to hate Cesaro and Shinsuke? They really do not possess any heel qualities. Cesaro spoke the truth about New Day's act, about throwing pancakes, and really Kofi being an absolute embarrassment to the WWE Championship when he held it for 6 months last year. And just they don't take anything serious. Everything's about pancakes and merchandise and inside jokes and gyrating. There's nothing that draws me to them to care enough to take them seriously, because they don't take it seriously. And they put comedy attempts and selling merchandise above the actual believability of the characters. And I mean, I could go on about the New Day, but why are we supposed to hate Cesaro and Shinsuke? Because they're opposed against the New Day? Just by default, anyone that faces the New Day we're supposed to dislike? Yeah, that's not how that works for me. They you know, again, I'm not a fan of the New Day to begin with. So, again, anybody facing the New Day, I'm actually feeling the opposite, where anybody facing the New Day, it's anybody but New Day at this point that I would really cheer for. And Cesaro and Shinsuke have really, really turned things around here in 2020. And I'm enjoying what they've done. Cesaro, he seems to even be in better shape than he was in the last year or two. He seems to actually be feeling a little more comfortable on the mic. That's a breath of fresh air. Shinsuke Nakamura is also kind of loosened up and seems to have learned a little bit more English, which is good. And seeing them as tag team champions certainly just kind of gives the tag team division a little bit of a breath of fresh air and a new coat of paint. That's what this has done. I hope that this is not a transitional championship run. I hope this is a destination and not a transition. So, again, that remains to be seen, but I really loved it. And the match itself was really good, too. Here's the thing with the stipulation, though. The stipulation is a very easy out for New Day, because they weren't pinned, they didn't submit, they just got put through a couple of tables, right? And having Kofi screaming that, "You guys forced us to do this to bring out this side of us," when he stacked two tables. Did you listen to that? Anybody hear that? Ooh, wow, yeah, you're so edgy, stacking two tables on one another. Versus what? Driving your opponent through a stack of pancakes? I mean, this whole act... I'm going to get off that. But glad to see them champion. Now, Ziggler and McIntyre. That was, to me, overachieved. And we, you know, when you see Ziggler in a match, you know automatically he's going to have a great match. And WWE knows that as well. He is ultra talented, but he's never going to be the guy. But they had me believing a couple of times, and that's what I was looking for. And they actually made a smart move by having the heel completely abuse their power to pick the stipulation. It wasn't just, "I'm going to face you in a steel cage," as if that's creating some kind of advantage for the heel, right? We've seen this in the past where someone's allowed to pick a stipulation, especially when babyfaces are, and they don't take advantage of it, and they just pick a stipulation that is a very standard stipulation that we're supposed to believe is a smart choice on their part. But in this case, Ziggler abused the hell out of it, and why wouldn't you, right? Ziggler made a Extreme Rules match, but only for himself. Smart booking here, really smart booking. And, you know, to Drew's credit, he sold the hell out of this match. He looked like he was in pain. The single Claymore finish was nice. You know, it really solidified the Claymore as a money finish. I like that as well. I would have enjoyed having McIntyre beat the holy hell out of Ziggler after the match, given he was having to withhold himself during the match and not be able to retaliate in a, you know, eye for an eye, I guess, pun intended. So he had a lot of built-up frustration, pent-up frustration, and he wasn't able to really get that out other than a single Claymore. So I would have liked after the match if he picked up the steel chair and just wailed on Dolph Ziggler. Not in a way that would extend this program, but just to kind of get even for having to withhold that frustration during the match. And he didn't do it, and I was a bit kind of disappointed at that. And the announcers could have said, the match is over, you know, that stipulation no longer applies. So I would have liked a little bit more of an edge from McIntyre other than a single Claymore, as if that's some kind of even retaliation. But good match, great match. Really enjoyed that as well. Quickly touch on Eye for an Eye. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, it was as, I don't know how to explain it other than it was as good of a bad outcome as it could have been. Meaning they didn't do any cinematics, which was good on my part. They had a good match. They were very physical with one another, as all the matches were on this card. You know, Rey Mysterio putting Seth's eye into the corner of the steps, trying to get retaliation. I'm surprised Murphy didn't show up. I'm surprised AOP didn't show up. It was just a straight one-on-one, you know, matchup. And having Rey get his eye jammed into the corner of the steps after he takes the protective seal from his mask off. Why the hell he would do that to what, show his white contact as if his eye was damaged and he's blind in one eye? I mean, why would you take that off to begin with? In an eye for an eye match, and then Seth takes advantage, jams that same eye into the corner of the steps, which apparently pops it out. We saw a quick glimpse of an eyeball, and apparently Rey Mysterio is going to be blind, or at least temporarily blinded. I don't know how this whole thing's going to pan out, but Seth is the victor. I would have liked Seth not to throw up. That shows a little bit of vulnerability for the heel. I get it. I know it's something gross, and we saw a quick glimpse. But to me, Seth should have been looking shocked, concerned, and look like he wants to throw up, and then have an evil smirk as if he's satisfied with what he did. Instead, he was kind of concerned and shocked with himself. I don't want that from Seth. I don't want to feel vulnerable. I don't want to see that he has actual human emotion. I want evil, I want sadistic, and I want remorseless from Seth. And I got kind of like I feel bad, what did I do? I feel sick to my stomach, I'm concerned. That's the kind of look I got. And it just didn't fit. It kind of regressed the character a little bit. And maybe he'll double down tomorrow, but I would have at least liked just an evil smirk at the end, as if I was faking the emotion of concern and hiding it with a mask of just true emotion of remorseless satisfaction, right? That's what I was looking for, but whatever. It was as good of a bad match as it could have been, and it was still bad of a... It was a terrible stipulation. I mean, I'm not faulting Seth or Rey because they did what they could, but it was just a bad, bad stipulation. I just don't get it, especially if you're going to have Seth act emotion, feel emotion for Rey, and not get any heat on Seth for this. But anyway, actually, what I did like was Bayley owning it. She seemed concerned and then said that you're not seeing double vision. I really do have two belts. I mean, that was great with Bayley. I mean, Bayley owned it. That's what Seth should have done. But anyway, the swamp fight, and this is what I'll end on. The swamp fight, and you'll get much more detail in my thoughts tomorrow, was confusing. It was kind of as expected, very weird. You know, The teleportation now exists. Again, once again, Seth or Bray is able to teleport himself and others from around any location to another location. He's able to create hallucinations, I guess, because he's the devil. That's what the story is. And if you're the devil, apparently, if you truly are, then yeah, you probably do have all these powers and all these evil intentions and all these gifts that you're able to exude. I mean, I don't know how to put this in a normal way, but this was it was weird. And having Alexa Bliss in this, like Alexa Bliss, I know that it was teased that these two had a crush on one another, or that at least Braun felt that way about Alexa. But if you had told me Alexa Bliss was going to be in this match, I did a double take with that. It was very Freddy versus Jason from like 2003 or whenever that movie happened. And this movie, this actually ended almost exactly the way I thought it would, with the Fiend popping up. I thought the Fiend's mask would be floating in the water, and then you would have a hand reach up and grab it. So instead, we had the Fiend just emerge from the water. So pretty close. I mean, I give myself a small pat on the back for coming close to what I thought they were going to do. Bray apparently wins, or the Fiend wins. And that's the next logical step, as we all imagined. But it makes sense. It makes sense. The next time these two meet, it will be for the championship at SummerSlam, and we have 5 weeks to build it. So I'm going to have a much more in-depth review of this swamp fight. Again, we've been in now cemeteries. We've been in on top of WWE headquarters. We've been now in a swamp. Who the hell knows where they're going next with SummerSlam? I'm kind of nervous, but all right. Well, I hate to tease you guys with a review, but those are my initial thoughts. Overall, I would give it a good grade. I'd give it a B minus. And really taking away for the eye for an eye stipulation is just awful. Not really taking away from the effort on Ray and Seth, because it was there. It's not the performers. It's the damn creative that was just. Like, come on, folks. Like, what are you doing back there? Vince, this was not a good idea. You booked yourself into a corner. You could have made this a normal match with Seth trying to gouge out the eye instead of making it an eye for an eye match. The actual believability and logistics of that are just silly, especially with the liability in the organization. And anyway, but outside of that and the swamp fight, I did enjoy the pay-per-view as a whole. I give it a B-. I know that many of you out there have already messaged me and said it's terrible, this is awful, but that's how I feel initially. We'll see if that changes. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. I'm trying to do more of these quick hits as these pay-per-views happen, especially. And tomorrow night, I'll be back with Michael Gross as we do a full, probably a two-hour-plus review of Extreme Rules and the current product and everything else. And then Tuesday will be a Raw review, and then you guys know the rest of the schedule. Probably 7 shows total this week. It's going to be a lot of content. All right. Well, guys, I'm on Instagram at WWE_podcast if you want to get your thoughts to me. And this has been fun. So I will talk to you guys soon.